best Gallipoli yarns and forgotten stories. Written by Jim Haynes and read by Jim Haynes with Rebecca McCauley and Caitlin O'Donoghue. One of the three suggested taking a peep over on this day. I did so cautiously and, to my surprise, saw a big German officer in his shirt sleeves advancing with a white flag. I told the others, but this time more were advancing. One of the boys in the Chamber of Horrors thought that at least this section of the enemy was surrendering. He leapt up on the parapet shouting, "Good for you, matey, are you going to quit? Come and shake hands with us." He was dragged down, and the news of the armistice soon passed along to us. The quietness of those few hours was almost more than we could bear after continual firing. If a man spoke to you, you jumped at the sound of his voice. It was uncanny the way all the little singing birds came back as soon as it was quiet. The whole thing got on our nerves, and we were glad when the time came for the armistice to end. The Turks had the right to start off again. And I never heard anything so puny as the first shot that was fired. Then the old naval guns got to it and we were happy again. During the armistice, I made friends with a Turk. He spoke perfect English. He'd been coming out to Sydney to join his uncle and nephew in business, but 5 days before his departure he was called up. We exchanged cigarettes. I gave him a box of those awful Scotch things we used to get out there, and he gave me the real Turkish article, which, I can tell you, I enjoyed. While we smoked, he said, "Strange, you know. Today we smoke chat and are happy together. Tomorrow we shall probably pour lead into each other." He was taken prisoner afterwards, and I saw him again. He was a really good fellow, like many of the other rural Turks against whom we fought. Life in the trenches? Well, there wasn't any dinner bell. We took bully beef and biscuits with us and opened the beef whenever we were hungry and had the chance of eating. There was one fellow who'd been a shearer's cook. He made a sort of grater by piercing a piece of tin with holes. He used to grate the biscuits and beef and make rissoles and cutlets and things. My word, we wouldn't have lost him for a fortune. We were the envy of the lines. One day, someone shot a hare. The first and last I saw on the peninsula. It was a Lord Mayor's banquet. We grilled it, and as soon as a bit was cooked, it would be hacked off, and it was goodbye hare. Private Donnelly was in London for Anzac Day. He says that most of the Australians had fresh tunics made for the occasion, more smartly cut than usual. He and several others were in a theatre during the day. In the seat in front was a broad-shouldered Australian in khaki. They recognised him as a pal. "How about it, Nugget?" said one of the soldiers, laying his hand on the shoulder of the Anzac in front. Nugget turned round, and to their dismay, they saw the crown of a general on his shoulder. "Beg pardon, sir," said they. "Thought you were one of ourselves." "Well, damn it all, aren't I?" said the general. "Come out and have a drink." He refused to tell them his name, and they never discovered it.